Support comes from Mosby Building Arts, helping families love their homes again. Inspiration at callmosby.com.
From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Tuesday, October 21st. I'm Jonathan Aull, in for Abby Lurico. The latest tool for helping farmers scout, plant, and treat fields are drones.
It's really taken off, haha.
We'll hear about the ways farmers are taking tech to the sky to grow and cultivate crops. That's coming up on The Gateway. St. Louis Public Schools has announced it will reopen some of its tornado-damaged buildings by January. St. Louis Public Radio's Hiba Ahmed reports.
Nearly 2,000 students were moved to other schools within the district after the storm closed seven of its buildings. Board President Karen Collins-Adams says that there are temporary remedies that can get students back into their schools.
This decision reflects the input we have heard from families, staff, and neighborhood leaders. It is part of our renewed commitment to the neighborhood schools and equitable access to education for all of our students.
The announcement comes after a shakeup in district leadership. Board member Ben Conover resigned from his position after the school board fired Millicent Borishade on Friday without cause. The former head of human resources, Myra Berry, will lead the district until the end of the school year. I'm Hiba Ahmed, St. Louis Public Radio.
In an attempt to rectify St. Louis County's $60 million budget deficit, the county council voted last week to raise adoption fees for dogs and cats at its animal shelter from $40 to $80. County Councilman Dennis Hancock says it's a temporary solution, and down the line, the county needs to ask whether it should be in the adoption business at all. He says he thinks a better setup would be to have the county be in charge of the animal control, but give the animals it collects to other organizations to adopt out.
I think that would be a real winning situation for not only for the county and for the other agencies, but it would also be for the animals.
County Executive Sam Page vetoed the bill, citing the need for more free adoptions to help the overpopulated shelter, but the council overrode his veto. Page has requested that the council introduce new legislation allowing for more free adoptions. Land of Lincoln Legal Aid will launch a new way to reach lower-income Illinoisans with free legal assistance. St. Louis Public Radio's Will Bauer reports that the nonprofit will make use of what they're calling their new mobile justice vans.
The two vans will allow the Land of Lincoln Legal Aid to reach more folks in the 65 counties they serve in South and Central Illinois. Executive Director Clarissa Gaff says the new mobile offices will allow the nonprofit to eliminate geography and transportation problems, which can be barriers.
We want to be where they can access it if they don't have a car, if they don't have access to an internet, if their cell phone is being spotty in a particular county. We want to be able to reach them no matter what.
Land of Lincoln offers free civil legal assistance in areas like family law, evictions, and public benefits. The van's tours will start at the courthouses of Randolph and Perry counties, which sit just south of the Metro East. I'm Will Bauer, St. Louis Public Radio.
Illinois veterans have a new place they can call home. The Veterans Home in Quincy has a new facility open that features 80 independent living apartments and 210 beds in long-term care. Linda Moore is the mayor of Quincy. She says the $300 million project was necessary for the state to care for retired members of the military.
You know, it's our veterans who served for us, and now it's only fitting that we serve them back by giving them a wonderful place to live and thrive.
The new buildings replace those that saw an outbreak of Legionnaires' disease in 2015 that led to the death of 14 residents and sickened dozens more. The new facility features brand-new plumbing and bacterial detection technology. Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker says infrastructure projects in the state will move forward despite the ongoing federal government shutdown. St. Louis Public Radio's Lucretia Wembley reports on his visit to the Metro East.
Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker says most federal projects shouldn't be affected.
Typically, they're private contractors that have either been paid or promised to pay, and then, you know, as long as it's not during the shutdown period, the work should continue. So I don't think that it's having any real effect.
Pritzker says the federal infrastructure projects and state projects, like the massive Rebuild Illinois campaign, will continue. Rebuild Illinois, a $45 billion project, has already helped improve 21,000 miles of roads and more than 800 bridges. It's the first multi-year capital plan since 2009, and this current one is expected to improve infrastructure in all 102 Illinois counties. I'm Lucretia Wembley, St. Louis Public Radio.
For years now, farming has been increasingly tech-savvy. As Jana Rose Schleiss reports, the next frontier for agricultural tools could be the sky.
Caleb O'Neill is spending his Saturday at the Montgomery County Fairgrounds teaching about a dozen people how to fly drones.
Anybody remember how to turn these things on, what the process is?
Controller first.
As a field specialist for the University of Missouri Extension, O'Neill is demonstrating how to use two types of drones for farming.
Who wants to fly this first?
Among the participants at drone school are farmers, college students, and rural Missouri residents who work in agriculture.
So let go. Yep. Distance. Left stick is your altitude.
Drones are among a suite of tools in what's known as precision agriculture, a type of farming that uses technology to more precisely plant crops and treat them for pests and weeds, ultimately using fewer environmentally harmful chemicals and saving the farmer money. O'Neill's co-teacher at drone school, MU Extension Specialist Rusty Lee, says there's been exponential growth in agricultural drones in the last 5 years, and they've been traveling the state to get folks up to speed on safety and regulations.
As the technology progressed and the university, we started embracing in Extension the need to provide education for this technology, and so it just grew from that. So it's really taken off, haha.
Drones can go places most large farm equipment can't, where soil is wet, corn is tall, or terrain is rocky. Farmers can fly small imaging drones over fields to scout crops, capturing a bird's eye view of how plants are doing. Then a significantly larger utility drone, affixed with a liquid holding tank, can apply herbicide, pesticide, or fertilizer to just the areas that need it. Those services have been traditionally provided by crop dusters, which requires a pilot and a plane. In 2018, Taylor Moreland identified a supply and demand problem.
The demand for application was growing. The supply of pilots who could, you know, fly a plane and do that was not growing. So there were many farmers who wanted the application service done, could not get it.
But Moreland knew how to fly a drone. He grew up on a farm in western Missouri, studied agriculture through college, and was a seed salesman before starting his own business, AgriSpray Drones, in Boonville, Missouri.
The people at the time that were selling these drones, they knew drones. They did not know agriculture. They didn't know farmers either.
Farmers hired Moreland to use his two drones to treat crops for pests and disease.
And I quickly learned that this was easy enough that, you know, I could teach somebody else how to do this.
Now, drone sales and tech support are the majority of Moreland's business. Back at MU Extension Drone School, trainer Caleb O'Neill says he didn't think his job as a plant scientist would also entail teaching farmers to pilot drones.
A year ago, my experience with drones was probably fairly similar to most. Christmas time, you know, the remote control helicopter or something like that was always the favorite gift. It was just a lot of fun.
But O'Neill has seen the variety of ways drones can be deployed on a farm and how they're more than just a toy. He's confident the technology is a big part of agriculture's future.
Drones are probably going to be synonymous with farming in 5 to 10 years.
If demand for drones continues to grow, it could help this new type of precision agriculture take flight. I'm Jana Rose Schleiss.
That story comes to us from NPR station KBIA in Columbia, Missouri. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. We are a member-supported service of the University of Missouri, St. Louis. I'm Jonathan All, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this has been The Gateway. Abby Larico will be back tomorrow.